everybody that you run into. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? It's a brand new day. Respect yourself. Well, we are on air live, and I'm Sheldon Brown, host of Mental Health Radio Take It From Us, and you've been listening to our theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself. What a wonderful message that is, especially with Easter holidays coming up, respecting ourselves and respecting others. Now, Declan, our technician, is here with us, and it feels as though we've been at Planet FM for about 3 or 4 hours because we came in this morning to do a pre-record, which is going to mark the 25 years of broadcasting of Take It From Us. That's a big milestone and something that we're going to celebrate as a momentous milestone on the 24th of April, so just about a month away. So today we broadcast one of the gutsiest stories of recovery that I've ever had the pleasure of hearing on Take It From Us. Our show first broadcast this inspiring yet sometimes devastatingly sad story of a mother and her two children about 8 years ago. She escaped abuse in her home country of Chile and decided to choose New Zealand as it was far away. It was as far away from Chile as any country could possibly be. Yet the repercussions of that decision by radio guest and mother Esther Reedon had repercussions she could never have imagined when she boarded her plane in Chile with her two young children, with a third on the way. When she arrived in Auckland, she spoke no English, sat at the airport for more than a day wondering what to do. Here is part of Esther's story, which was first broadcast in 2011 on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. Today's broadcast involves a guest who has conquered challenges that would flatten many of us, and I really mean that, flatten many of us. I'm sure that if I'd gone through what our guest has gone through, boy, I'd be in a lot less good shape. She's grappled with mental illness, financial stress, abuse, immigration challenges as a refugee, and the pressures of raising three children as a solo parent. Yet her resilience shines through it all, and indefatigable, that's a difficult word to say, spirit that has got her through the toughest times. In fact, her story of survival, recovery and eventual success in New Zealand is one of the gutsiest I've ever heard. With three children, Esther Reedon knew she just had to get through the painful time. Today, she's certainly done that. She's graduated as a qualified nurse and passed her state examinations after years of study. She's getting married next month and says that 2011 has been her best year ever. To anyone who knows Esther, that's an amazing recovery and turnaround. And one of the people who has supported Esther for many, many years and has contributed greatly to that amazing recovery and turnaround is in the studio today. Diane Jallis is an employment consultant with WorkFocus, which is the framework supported employment service. And Diane, it's great to have you in the studio supporting Esther.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming along. Yeah. So, Esther, welcome to Take It From Us. You come from Chile. What was life like there, before you left?
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me today. I'm a bit nervous, so it's the first time that I am in the radio.
Yeah.
In Chile, it was really difficult for me, especially because I suffered from many years of domestic violence and abuse. I had two kids, which I needed to look after. And it was a really difficult decision to leave my country, especially leaving my family, leaving people who you loved, and the support that you have around. But I needed to change my life and make sure that my kids had a real life, because it wasn't a good life there. We had people around. We have many things. We had maybe money, but we didn't had safety at all. So we were living in like a prison and without having one. And I needed to change that for them. So I decided to leave my country and I didn't know where to go.
How long did it take you to make that decision?
It took me only, I think, a month, because a very bad event happened and my life was really at risk. So I decided to make a quick decision and I escaped from my country in a few months.
So New Zealand, did you know anything about New Zealand when you came here?
No, nothing. No. I left Chile to another country where I had a few days to think about it, and I found the farthest country from Chile, and it was New Zealand.
The farthest country from New Zealand.
From Chile.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is quite a way, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because I didn't know that you needed residency to live in another country. I didn't know that this country was only English speaking, and I didn't speak any English at all when I arrived here.
I think you told me that you could say hello and goodbye.
Yeah, it was only two words. I never had English in my life, so...
So what was it like arriving at, I imagine, Auckland Airport, a new country with two children and a third on the way, I think, and you didn't speak any English?
It was shocking because I didn't...
Sorry, it was?
It was really shocking.
Shocking?
Yeah, to arrive here and not knowing anyone, especially because I had all those dreams that I hoped to have a good life and my kids been happy, but I didn't know the reality. And when I arrived, it was a real shock because I didn't understand anything. I didn't know what to do. And I was sitting in Auckland Airport, I think, for a day with my kids without knowing where to go.
Really? Sitting in the airport for a day?
Yeah.
Did anyone come to talk to you? And
No one. So we sit there and I was thinking about what to do next because I needed to do something. And I started to look at the white pages and I found one Latin American Association, which I contact, and they asked me to go to meet them. So I took a taxi and I arrived there. And from that, I started to do my papers and all of that. But it was a real hard time, especially because I didn't understand anything. I didn't know how to speak English at all.
You were able to read the white pages, though, didn't
yeah.
you? Right.
I think only because I was looking for something that said Latin American, and it was the first thing that I found.
So you were able to identify those two words, Latin American.
Yeah.
And did you get the support from that Latin American Association that you sort of hoped for?
Yeah, I found support, and I was there with them for a few months, and after that I left and I started to live my own life, because I think it's really important to move away sometimes from just having normal life, but I needed to do something else, and my kids needed to have a proper home because there was like a refugee or place where many people from different countries come. So
how was your level of independence? I mean, you know, to do this, it sounds as though you'd need to be very independent and pretty together.
That was one of the big things. I think I grew up so much when I arrived here, because in my country I never had that. I think I was 24 when I learned to take the first bus. I was so dependent on my parents all my life, and I didn't know what to do without them. But here I didn't have anyone, and I had two kids that I needed to be that I needed to feed, that I needed to have clothes, that I needed to have a house and everything. So I didn't think about anything. I just was every day I was doing things to keep them alive and to keep us well.
I mean, some people might have got very, very scared and panicky and not able to speak the language. But it sounds as though you sort of settled into that independence fairly quickly.
Yeah, but I was hard. I was always panicking. And I was sometimes in my room crying and without my kids knowing what was happening, but I needed to be strong for them. And I was carrying with me at all times a dictionary, a Spanish and English dictionary, and I used to go to the supermarket and everywhere with that because I never had anyone to support me, so I needed to do those things by myself. And I was trying to talk to people just with the dictionary and saying, can you understand me? You know, at least, and showing them what I try to say, because sometimes you can say things but they don't understand the meaning. So it was quite difficult, but I always try my best.
Did people come up to you and help you buy things in the supermarket and support you? Or
Yeah, they used to explain to me things about, you know, the food, and because it's really different, especially in, you know, with another language. So I always receive support from people.
So what did you do first as part of your survival plan?
I started to work in cleaning, and it was really new for me. And while my daughters were in school, I was working. And after that, I decided to join because of my experience looking after my mom for many years in Chile with cancer and terminally ill. So I was hoping to join at that time like a caregiving job in a rest home. So I did that, and I applied for to join a rest home. And I always remember there was the only job that I had, but I used to work many, many hours there, from 7 in the morning to 11 p.m. So it was really hard to be able to survive. And at that time, I was having always problem with my immigration papers, so I needed to start to pay for those things and fighting to be here.
And that involved employing legal help and running up some big debts to support your application to stay in New Zealand.
It was really expensive, and it was just bad news at all times because my application didn't go through, and it was always declined. And it was a really difficult time because I was at that moment I had a third baby, and I started to suffer from mental illness. So it was a real hard time for me.
Well, it's quite a coincidence, actually, because we met yesterday for coffee and a bit of a chat, a bit of a briefing for this radio show. And when I got back, I was sent something to say that it's Postnatal Depression Awareness Week this week, from the 13th to the 19th of November. Mm-hmm. And I believe that postnatal depression was sort of instigated your mental illness.
Yeah. While I was pregnant, I started to suffer from depression, and when my baby was born, I suffered from postnatal depression. And it wasn't just for a few days, and it wasn't for a few months, it was for many years. It was 3 or 4 years that I was with this big depression. I suffered from psychosis and from panicking attacks, anxiety disorder, and many things. So it was a combination of symptoms, but also a combination of illness, I think, because it wasn't only one thing, it was many things. And with all the life difficulties, it was harder to get through. But I was just there fighting at all times. But as I said before, I was trying to work, I was trying to survive, and sometimes I didn't have that hope at all.
Well, you know, it sounds as though it would have been tough enough without the postnatal depression and the psychosis and, you know, the panic attacks. That must have just about crippled you.
Yeah, it was hard. And I always remember those times, and they were really scary because I used to hide in my room by myself because my kids didn't... I didn't want them to know what was going on. So I was always really strong in front of them because they needed that. We didn't have anyone to support us, so I needed to be that person. I needed to be the mother and the father and the worker and everyone.
All those roles that, you know, some of us only take on one or two of those roles, but you took them on more than just being a mother and maybe a worker, and in the face of mental illness as well.
Yeah, It was, and when I think about those times, I never think about someone who is brave or things like that. I think I needed to do that.
Well, we're going to take our first music break and give Esther a bit of a break. And Braden is on the board today, so he can introduce this first track.
Thanks, Sheldon. Well, this track is by a lady called Delta Goodrum. It was co-written with her fiancé, Brian McFadden. The song's been noted to be about overcoming life's obstacles. And Delta said it's about constant perseverance. It shows you can overcome anything in life as long as you have a strong belief in yourself. The song is called Believe Again, and it's by an Aussie artist, Delta Goodrum.
Well, that's Believe Again by Delta Goodwin. And as Braden said when he introduced that track, it's about constant perseverance. Does that ring a bell with you, Esther? Constant perseverance?
Yes.
You've had to constantly persevere?
Yeah, I had to. Yeah. And I think I will always. There's something that is with me and it sits with me.
But you're describing 2011 as your best year yet, and there's some great news about getting married next month, and you've finished your, well, not exactly finished your studies, but you've graduated as a nurse and done the national...
State exams.
But yeah. You've got some plans to carry on studying too.
Yeah, 2011 has been great. It was really hard in the beginning because working full-time and studying full-time, which I did for 4.5 years, it was really tough. But I needed to do it because I still carry on some debts from my immigration paper. So I think it will be until 2 more years that I will finish to paying off that money. But I needed to work in full-time to provide food and housing for my kids. And I needed to study also full-time to have a better future for us. So I finished on the 4th of August. I graduate and that day. And
that's the 4th of August?
2011.
Right.
So I finished my clinical practice in one of the inpatient units during June. And I finished all my papers at uni in July, and I graduated on the 4th of August. And on the 19th of August, I received my state exams results, which I passed.
How did you feel about receiving that information?
It was amazing. It was something... You can be qualified as a nurse and have a degree, but have been a registered nurse is totally different, so it was something that I needed to accomplish, and when I got that, it was amazing, and it's been really a really amazing year. So after that, I met my husband to be, and we I know him since he was little, and we just reunited on that day. It was the same day that I received my state exams.
Oh, wonderful. So that was a double whammy good news.
Yeah.
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 But when you say that you knew him when you were very young in Chile, when you went to school.
Yeah. No, when I went to school, I used to live in a really small countryside in Chile. Mm. And I used to spend all my summers there in part of the year. So it was... Since I was born, my whole family is from there. And he comes from the same place. So I knew him when he was around 12, 13. So I used to see him at all times during those years. Mm. But I never knew that he was here in New Zealand. So he's been here for 7 years, and I've been here for 10 years, and I never met him.
Oh, and how did you come to meet?
I went to a Latin American club and to celebrate my state exams, and I met him that day
over there.
So I, yeah.
Yeah. So when were you introduced to the support that Framework and Diane, who's in the studio with us, when were you introduced to that support?
I was introduced to that after joining, being with a transcultural psychotherapy from Cornwall House, and Diane was asked by them to support me during my mental illness, which I came above, or I recover. I don't think that I will ever recover because it's a life journey, but I will. But without her, I wouldn't be here today. So she was the only person who believed in me.
So Diane sort of held the hope for you that you had lost in those really dark days.
Yeah, it was the only person who was there for me. And it wasn't just once a month or once a week, it was every day.
Yeah, and you've given Diane an invitation to your wedding today.
Yeah.
And that demonstrates how close the two of you are over,
yeah.
What, how many years has it been?
Oh, it was when we met was in 2004. So it's been
seven years
since, and she supported me for maybe until 2010. So it was always there. Even when she was in my community support worker, she was always there for me.
Right.
And the day that I graduated, she was there also for me. And it was like, she's more than just a support person. She's part of me.
Part of you, yeah. and a good friend.
Yeah, she's an amazing friend. Without her, I wouldn't be here, because I used to, when I joined my studies and when I decided to overcome mental illness, because you have to make a decision, and I used to go with her everywhere, and everyone used to say to me, you won't be able to study ever. Your English is not good. You can't do that. Also, you suffer from mental illness. And she was always there, and she was like, no, you can do it. And I believe in you. You can do it. And she was always there for me at all times, even if it was night, day, anytime. So everything that I have now, I know is because of her, even when she doesn't think that.
Right. This brings tears to my eyes when she talks like that.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. You said that you had to make a decision. You had to make a conscious decision to recover from your mental illness. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah. I needed to make a decision because at that time everything was dark. And it wasn't only my mental illness, but it was a lot of discrimination, stigma, but also was my papers. I wasn't safe anywhere. I didn't know, even when I loved New Zealand and I felt it was my home, I didn't know if I was going to be here. I didn't know if my kids were going to be here, which it was really tough because they loved New Zealand and we love New Zealand, really.
So the whole family was falling in love with New Zealand, but you had this big question mark as to whether you would get approval from the immigration people, authorities, to be able to stay here.
Yeah. Right. So it was really hard and tough times, and we will keep receiving bad news about our papers, and we needed to leave the country, so they just sent the last letter saying that we needed to leave the country, which I decided to fight for, and Diane helped me through these times always, and we collect a lot of support letters, and we talk to my lawyer, which also helped me a lot, and we decided to fight it, and finally in 2006, and on the 26th of October, I received my residency.
Yeah, 26th of October, what year was that?
2006.
Ah.
It was on humanitarian grounds.
On humanitarian grounds, right. So, you know, I mean, that challenge on its own is enough to, you know, really upset and disturb many people. But you were also grappling with your mental illness as well.
Yeah, and it was always like that. It was like every day it was a new problem, or every week when I was seeing the light, finally it was just clearing out, it was something else that happened. And it was always my life like that since I was in Chile. So it was one problem to another that I needed to fight. And that is what I said. If it wasn't for Diane that was next to me, I wouldn't be here today.
So your children kept you going.
Yeah.
But there must have been some positive messages that you sent to yourself to overcome these issues and challenges that kept on cropping up all the time.
Yeah, it was, I think, a part of me that used to talk to myself, and it used to say, you know, you need to do this. You have kids. You decided to be a mother, and it's your responsibility to keep them going. But also for myself, I deserve to be happy. So it was one of the things that I learned through the years when I suffered from mental illness, that I deserved to be happy. That it wasn't just about living, it was about being happy.
You mentioned discrimination and stigma, and of course, take it from us, is its goal is to try and reduce discrimination and stigma. Did that discrimination occur because of your mental illness, or did it occur because of your English and you were a refugee and discriminated against because of that?
I think it was a combination. I think people still don't understand really about mental illness, and they think more of a disability rather than something that you have to live with and learn to live with. And it's not about, for me, mental illness is not a disability at all. Mental illness for me is something that enabled me to be who I am today. I am really proud of what is happening to me, but I'm really proud of saying that I had lived experience in mental illness.
So you actually describe yourself as an ex-psychiatric patient?
Yeah. That is one of the things that I always describe myself, because I think people think that when you describe having a lived experience in mental illness, people think, oh, you are an ex-psychiatric patient. And language matter. How you say things and how you refer to people, it matters. And for me, listening to some people which talk about mental illness was always about ex-psychiatric patients or psychiatric patients. And for me, I'm really proud of who I am. And for me, being an ex-psychiatric patient is who made me the person that I am today.
Well, you're an ambassador for recovery, aren't you? And an amazing ambassador, because you've not only conquered the challenge of mental illness, but you've had all these other challenges that you had to surmount, overcome at the same time. I mean, it could have become a hugely vicious spiral that took you down very quickly.
Yeah, and it did in the beginning, because I didn't know what to do. But I was, as I said before, with Diane next to me and always telling me, you know, believing in myself, and she was believing in myself more than me. Mm-hmm. It gave me that. I think support is really important, and was one of the things that I was missing here in New Zealand, because I didn't have anyone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was the luckiest person to meet Diane, and she's been always there for me. And I know that she will be there for me always.
Mm. Well, that's a wonderful recommendation for Diane's work and the framework support in terms of Diane being both a community support worker and now an employment consultant with WorkFocus.
Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And this is Sheldon Brown, host of Mental Health Radio, and we've got Declan Curran with us doing the technical work and doing a grand job as well. And I just wanted to emphasise that interview was first done in 2011. There were some absolutely wonderful pieces of gold in there. I just made some notes here that she is proud to have had a mental health experience, and she's proud of who she is as well. And I think those are two things that can help any of us into recovery and into greater health. For the first time, actually, in my broadcasting career, I went back to Esther with the help of employment consultant Diane Jealous, who you heard during our interview. Not only was it lovely to catch up with Esther, but to get an update about her life. In short, Esther said she was very blessed. And what a wonderful way to describe one's life, very blessed. As usual, she was working hard. She had worked for several district health boards over the past 7 years and is currently working in one of the crisis mental health teams at County's Manukau. She did marry. We mentioned that in the broadcast done in 2011. And she has a fourth child, a boy who is now 5 years old. Esther described herself as really well and focused on her family living in East Auckland. So if listeners have got any feedback at all on that inspiring story of recovery, you could get in touch with us at sheldon.brown@framework.org, that is, .org.nz. It was just lovely to listen to that interview again before I decided to rebroadcast it, and I think it's wonderful that Esther has been such a great ambassador for recovering from mental health experience and is working in crisis mental health herself. So we're going to take a music break, and you've got...
Yeah, I've got something here. We've just got at the moment Ed Sheeran's visiting us on a tour, and apparently he is doing the most tours and most shows in one tour than any other musician. So I think he's finished up here and going down to Dunedin now. So I thought, what better than to pick a song from him? And this particular one, when it eventually plays itself, and it's going to be a pain, is called Castle on the Hill from Ed Sheeran.
tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart, broke it here, made friends and lost them through the years. And I've not seen the boring fields in so long. I know I've grown, but I can't wait to go home.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and Declan is now playing music off his tablet, but it does appear that there's just a little bit of a short circuit, so apologies for any technical difficulties. As we're live, it looks as though we could adopt a theme of gutsiness in the face of hardship. And I think gutsiness is something that we all need in terms of reaching recovery or sustaining our recovery. So we've got a few sayings here that we'd like to just share with our listeners. We're calling it changing perspectives. And the first one is, if you find yourself stuck in traffic, and that often happens in Auckland, don't despair. There are people in this world for whom driving is an unheard of privilege.
And should you despair over a relationship gone bad, think of the person who has never known what it's like to love and be loved in return.
Should you have a bad day at work, think of the man who has been out of work for years.
Where am I? I've got myself lost.
Well, I'll read the next one and then you'll probably catch up. Should you grieve the passing of another weekend, think of the woman in dire straits working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed her children. And that is probably exactly what Esther Reedon, who we recorded on our show today, that's exactly what her reality would have been to sustain herself in New Zealand.
And should your car break down, leaving you miles away from assistance, think of the paraplegic who would love the opportunity to take that walk.
Should you notice a new grey hair in the mirror, think of the cancer patient in chemo who wishes she had hair to examine.
Should you find yourself at a loss and pondering what life is all about, asking what is my purpose, be thankful there are those who didn't live long enough to get the opportunity.
Should you find yourself the victim of other people's bitterness, ignorance, smallness or insecurities, remember things could be worse. You could be one of them. So we've got, that's a little bit about gutsiness, I think, having the right perspective on life to at least help us in recovery. Another way of helping our recovery is to eat the right foods. I've got an article here about diet and mental health, and it says that recent evidence suggests that good nutrition is essential for our mental health and that a number of mental health conditions may be influenced by dietary factors. One of the most obvious yet under-recognised factors in the development of major trends in mental health is this role of nutrition, of what we eat and what we put into our bodies. The body of evidence linking diet and mental health is growing at a rapid pace. As well as its impact on short and long-term mental health, the evidence indicates that food plays an important contributing role in the development, management and prevention of specific mental health problems such as depression. And in terms of my own incident and episode of depression, which does sort of continue to tap me on the shoulder, somebody who I seek advice said that porridge and potatoes were very important for grounding me and assessing or accessing a good diet to beat this depression. It says, this article says, nearly two-thirds of those who do not report daily mental health problems eat fresh fruit or fruit juice every day, compared with less than half of those who do report daily mental health problems. So they're saying that those people who do not experience mental health problems eat fresh fruit and fruit juice. This pattern is similar for fresh vegetables and salads. Those who report some level of mental health problem also eat fewer healthy foods, such as fresh fruit and veggies, organic foods and meals made from scratch. And that means when it's a meal made from scratch, it means you're buying all the right fruit and veggies and meat and you're making it yourself rather than taking it out of a packet. So, you know, the unhealthy foods are like the chips, the crisps, the chocolate, the ready meals and the takeaways. I must admit that I did buy what was called a giant burger the other day, and boy, was it a disappointment. It cost me $10 as well, so I could have fed myself probably two or three meals with that $10. So a balanced mood and feelings of well-being can be protected by ensuring that our diet provides adequate amounts of complex carbohydrates. I guess those carbohydrates, can't even say the word, like the potatoes and the pastas, having some essential fats and amino acids, some vitamins, and they reckon that magnesium and fish oil are really great for depression or schizophrenia or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or even Alzheimer's. So while a healthy diet can help recovery, it should sit alongside other treatments recommended by your doctor.
And as regards to what we should eat, they say to eat fewer high sugar foods and more whole grain cereals such as nuts and beans, lentils, fruit and vegetables, and that sugary foods are absorbed quickly into the bloodstream, so that can cause an initial high or a surge of energy that soon wears off as the body increases its insulin production, leaving you feel tired and low. Don't we know that one? Whole grain cereals, such as pulses, fruit and vegetables, are more filling, and because the sugar in the foods is absorbed more slowly, they don't cause mood swings. The foods are more nutritious as they contain thiamine, B1, a vitamin that's been associated with control of mood, and folate, and zinc. And supplements of those nutrients have been shown to improve the mood of people with depression in a small number of studies.
So there we are, good diet, perhaps thinking about giving the smokes away. But there are also, we've got some suggestions here in terms of alternatives to medication. And, you know, there are different things that work for different people. But this list includes acupuncture as a way of addressing depression. It says depression in Chinese medicine implies suicidal tendency and liver issues. So acupuncture could help these problems. Affirmations, and I've discussed with somebody a viable affirmation for my own recovery, but they've got some lovely positive self-talk compliments like I am special, the universe loves me, and I am wonderful. Aromatherapy, there are a number of essential oils that help with balancing the body's energies and mind and emotions and spirit. And this show, Take It From Us, has always promoted arts and crafts and creating things that can build confidence. So having a hobby of making things can instill a sense of pride, self-worth and accomplishment. Books, I think, certainly books were a very important part of my discharge from hospital last month. I certainly found it better to pass the time reading books and keeping my brain trained. And last week, of course, we talked about the self-help book, which is was written by Jackie Oliver, our guest last week. And you can access that show on planetaudio.org.nz/takeitfromus. There are clubs, there is, you know, developing financial responsibility and not getting into debt. There's the exercise, walking particularly, joining a gym. Those are two things that I am doing to try and get a release of endorphins and serotonin and help maintain my general good health. There are all sorts of other alternatives to medication, or complements, we probably should say, complementing medication like handiwork, hobbies and interests, home remedies, hypnosis, laughter therapy, getting plenty of light and sunshine, having a massage, doing meditation and mindfulness, and even coming up with a chant. And that's also been suggested, that I should chant a mantra before going to bed. So, you know, these are all things, and probably collectively they can help our mental health and our recovery. So let's take another music break. And Declan, we've got some Shona Lang.
Yes, 1905, if she opens her lungs. I think I'll be getting a new system if this gives us any more grief.
We're hoping, listeners, that this comes on straight away.
No,
we haven't got it, so let's just wait
Hang
until...
Here we go.
Here we go.
Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And, of course, that was Shana Lang with 1905. I'll get those technical things sorted out, hopefully, for next week. Recently, we had Liv Young, who joined us as a guest on Take It From Us. And I actually submitted one of the stories for Kiwis Mental Health Experiences. And it's now been released on a site, which is ourmentalstory.com/read stories. And there's an initial release of about 10 or so, and then they're just going to be gradually brought in from there. So that website, again, is ourmentalstory.com/read stories, and eventually they'll all be produced in a book as well. So, yeah, go and have a look.
So, Declan, that's stories of people with lived experience of mental health?
Yes, I should actually have gone on further down if I'd trained my eyes. Funded via crowdfunding platform Boosted, Liv Young's launched that website. It's going to tell many first-person stories of mental health struggles in New Zealand. And as I say, the book will be coming out too. So.
And that's exactly what Taken From Us tries to do. And we've got our 25 years coming up in April, celebrating that major milestone of continuous broadcasting on Planet FM for 25 years. So I just wanted to let our listeners know that Hearts and Minds, which is the new brand and name for Rayburn House, has wellbeing support groups. This is their second term. These are free, in fact, with a doctor or health professional's referral. They're going to run from May to July. And just casting my eye over this, there's quite a bit of material for managing stress and distress, overcoming anxiety, looking at your personality, your strengths and your vocation. have another one here, Parenting Anxious Teens and Tweens. There are also courses for Mandarin speakers for managing stress and distress. There's an ongoing wellbeing support group, which is going to be organised on the first and third Wednesdays in the evening. That's going to be at the Hearts and Minds Hub in Northcote. So I suggest that you get on the website www.heartsandmindsallonword.org.nz. So there's some really valuable courses in this wellbeing support groups that are being advertised, and they're being run right through Waitakere, West Harbour, Massey, North Shore and Rodney.
Well, I was just going to say, leading us up, if you're pretty much ready for the end, try this Beast One Last Time, one of your favourite songs, Take the Long Way Home, Supertramp. It sounds like you've been doing that recently with your trip. But yeah, so shall we see what we get?
Yep.
All right. Well, it's remember this one I said's got that lead in, so if you want to just sort of have a lighter moment and chat.
Well, the only other thing I had was a little position that is being offered by Otago University, but let's have Supertramp, if we've got them. Yep.
It's definitely going to be taking a back seat when I get home.
This is Declan's tablet that's causing us a few issues today.
I tell you about it. I blame the census on this. I'll talk about that maybe another time. We're going to play this now through and then on our way out. So I hope you enjoy. Catch you next week.